triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Ages. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for being here this morning, and I hope that you are here to adore him, because we're here to worship him this morning. And I just want everybody to join in. Glad to have everybody here this morning. Mr. Doug and Miss Betty are fixing to celebrate an anniversary, 62 years. Congratulations. I don't know how you did it, Betty, but God,
huh?
Poor Betty, that's what I said. Well, okay, I won't say poor Doug too, right? All right, so anyway, happy anniversary. Also, we got two birthdays coming up. Miss Sharon's got a birthday tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Mr. Tom Hunt's got one coming up. So happy birthday to y'all. We're going to do a special. I'm going to preach a little bit, and we are going to have a short service on Wednesday, which is Christmas Day. I know that, and there's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord.
Right.
And then next Sunday will be our fifth Sunday night sing, and we'll have a short fellowship after that. So if you'd like to come and be a part of that and sing, let Jeff know. Miss Cheryl asked me to say, anybody that's interested with the Secret Sisters, if you've got paperwork to turn in, bring it and give it to Laverne or her mama, because they're going to be in the back. And they'll start the first week in January. So that's for the Secret Sisters. Everything?
Everything.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father God, we come this morning. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, as we're going to lift up our voice in song, we just pray that you would accept it, Lord. We know that the Bible says all we have to do is make a joyful noise. But God, we're so willing to just praise you in song, Lord. And we just thank you for all that you do for us each and every day. We pray that you would be with those that are on our prayer list, God. We have many who are sick. We would ask you, God, to heal their bodies. Lord, those that are going to be traveling this week, I pray, God, you would just be with them and get them where they're going and return them safely. And as always, God, we pray for those that have lost loved ones, Lord, especially those that this is going to be the first Christmas without a loved one. I pray that you would just be with them, Lord, and that you would hold them close to you. Pray for our country. We pray for our leaders, God. We ask you to please just give them your wisdom. And, Lord, we pray for our service members, our first responders, wherever they are today. We ask you to watch over them and protect them. Keep them safe, Lord God, and thank you for the sacrifices that they and their families make. Again, Lord, as we get ready to go into your word and to worship you this morning, let us open our hearts. Let us hear the message that you have for us this morning, God. And again, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you especially for that gift that you gave so long ago, your only son, so that we would have a way back to you. And God, we ask it all in his name. Amen.
Before we get started, let's sing happy birthday to Miss Sharon. So, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, everybody, let's stand up and sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sharon. Happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Okay. I got to get my bulletin. Okay. Hymn 269, we'll sing this song, How Great Our Joy, and then we'll have our offertory right after. Let's stand as we sing hymn 269.
While by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great our joy, great our joy. Joy, 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 joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. born, so he did say, in Bethlehem, a child today, how great our joy,
great our joy.
Joy, joy, joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. There shall the child lie in a stall.
This child who shall redeem us all.
How great our joy,
great our joy, 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 joy,
joy, joy, joy. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. This gift that God will cherish well,
joy
our hearts shall feel,
how great our joy,
great our joy, 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 joy,
joy, joy, joy.
Praise be the Lord in heaven on high. Praise be the Lord in heaven on high.
Let us pray. Remember the reason for this
evening.
In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Be seated. As we come together this morning, I want you to think about something. Now, I know everybody doesn't always get into Christmas spirit every year, but we really need to. Think about how many times we failed Jesus at Christmas. Think about how many times we failed Jesus at Easter. Think about how many times we failed Him in our daily lives when we forget about Him. And then think about the times that He's never failed us. And He continues to bless us every single day. He was born into this world, yet without sin. We were talking about this morning in Sunday school. I want to know what He did before He was 12. Did He play? Did He get in trouble? To me, the Bible says no. He was born sinless and the only one. None of us here could ever, ever say that we were sinless. And that's why He died on the cross, to save us all. So when we come to God this Christmas, may we lift Him up the way He needs to be lifted up in glory. We hope you enjoy.
expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom reign, by thy own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Oh, come, oh, come, amen. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou
day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advantage. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and calls us in her way to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations find, all people in one heart and mind. Bid me strife and quarrel cease, fill the whole world with heaven. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
His father.
Small child in a land of a thousand, one small dream in a people of nine, one small hand reaching out to the starlight, one small savior of light.
Rejoice, Lord.
thou comest, then callest for me.
Thank you.
Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Amen, and thank you, choir, for that. And I don't know about you, but I've already heard a sermon. So if that's okay, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 7 verses. I promise you I will be short. I've been been warned by different people that it better be short this morning or else. So, but we're going to talk as long as God wants me to talk, and when he wants me to shut up, I'll shut up. But Luke chapter 2 is where we're at. As you know, we've been studying over the last couple of weeks about the Christmas story, and we talked about the birth. We talked about the nativity scene and the importance of it. We talked last week about the wise men and the importance of them. And today we're going to cover the first 7 verses, and I want to ask you this question as we read this. What's in your heart this morning? Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, this is what Luke has to say. He said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." All right, let's talk about this morning for just a few minutes. Like I said, what I want to ask you this morning is, what is in your heart? You know, I know we're getting ready for Christmas, and it's only a couple of days away, and everybody's excited. Sharon can't wait for that day. But everybody's excited about what they're going to get on Christmas Eve. Well, let me tell you, or Christmas, let me tell you, the most important gift that you will ever receive is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't accepted him this morning, I hope and pray that this morning he will deal with you, and you will allow him to come into your heart and be your Savior, because I promise you that there's no greater gift that you'll ever receive than that. No matter what they give you here on earth, it can't compare with what heaven will be like. So we want to talk about this morning. What, or do you have room in your heart for Jesus Christ or not? So let's look at the events. First of all, the ruler had departed from Judea. That just means Judea was no longer being ruled by the Jews. They were under Roman government. The Roman had conquered them, and Rome was basically their leader. Judah was under the rule of Roman. Caesar Augustus was emperor. Cyrenius was the governor of Syria and Judea. Herod was now the king of Judea. He was a foreigner, an alien power. Judah was no longer ruled by one of its own princes. It was ruled by a descendant of Esau, Herod the Great. The promised land was no longer in the hands of Israel. It was in the hands of a heathen power. The prince was no longer appointed by God, he was empowered by Rome. The temple was no longer cared for by the priests of God, it was misused under the authority of Herod. The priests of God were no longer the ministers of God, they were the servants of the secular world, just as most are today. How clearly and dramatically the prophecy was fulfilled. The rule had most definitely departed from Judea. So now it was time for the Savior's birth. And you know, as we read the different stories, it says, and the time came. And that means it wasn't man's time, it was God's time. God had a plan from the very beginning before Adam and Eve was created. God knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly that man was going to fall. He knew that man was going to need a Savior and a way back to him. And he knew when that child would be born. It had been thousands of years since Adam and Eve. And it had been quite a while since anything had been heard from any of the prophets in Israel. If you'll go back and look between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it said there were years, I believe it was 400, but there were years of nothing but silence. God no longer spoke to his people. His people no longer looked for God. And if you look at our society today, we're in the same predicament. People no longer look for God. They look to the government. They look to humans, they look to each other to take care of the problems of the world. And there's only one who can take care of the problems of the world, and that's God. And because our country has taken God out, then we see the things that are going on in our country today. We see the sin that's rampant. We see all kinds of things that are going on. The other day, me and Sharon were out running errands for Laverne, which means I didn't get to go to Home Depot, but I had to go to Sam's to pick up some stuff. And as we were walking toward the door, there was a commotion over on the over in the parking lot. We were just about to the handicap spot, and there was a lady here, and somebody pulled into that handicap spot, and it was an older lady. And the young lady, how she had a handicap sticker, I don't know, but she did. The younger lady jumped out, ran up to the car, and proceeded to explain to this lady in a very loud voice that she had been waiting for that spot and that you shouldn't have taken it from me. And then she used a very descriptive word to let her know how she felt. And all Sharon would say is, what was it, Sharon? That lady was bad. Now, nasty. Now, Sharon knows that what that lady said was nasty. Don't you think everybody else should know what that word was nasty? But you know, that's what we expect today. If you look at our TV shows anymore, I grew up in a time when people didn't cuss on TV, period. Now, you can't watch anything that doesn't have profanity in it. People say, well, it's more expressive if you do it that way. No, what I was always told, if you have to use that way to express yourself, you're not educated to know the difference. All right? Because if you know the difference, you don't have to use those words. But anyway, let's get on. So, the time had come, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, was about to be born, but he had to be born in Bethlehem because that had to happen in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled. Joseph and Mary left and went to Bethlehem to be taxed. The reason is because the Jews were very, and they still to this day are very, their lineage is very important to them. And they can trace their lineage back, all the way back, a lot of them. And if you go into Matthew and read, you will read about the lineage of Joseph, how it's traced back to David. You'll also read about the lineage of Mary and how it was traced back to David. Because it said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and that he would be the Savior of the world. The birth is covered in one simple verse, yet there's much we can learn about it. First of all, Jesus was born in a smelly stable. He was neglected and turned away by men from the very beginning. There was no room at the inn, and Mary was about to deliver. If somebody had cared, a room would have been made for her. I could not imagine somebody who was fixing to have a baby, and you tell them, go out and get in the garage. I don't have room for you in my house. But that's exactly what happened. And there's a reason why it had to happen that way. And I'll elaborate in a minute. Second, Jesus was born into poverty. If Joseph had possessed the money, he could have bought a room. We all know money talks. If you have money, you can just about, if you have enough money, buy whatever you want. Except you can't buy peace, and you can't buy happiness. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, Lord, let me be here for a little while just to see that I can experience happiness, because we want to buy all those things. But all those things that you buy and all those things that you think money can bring you, when it's time for you to meet the Lord, none of that's going with you. You're going out of this world, or you're going to leave this world just like you came in this world with nothing. Only difference is you're probably going to have a suit or a dress on, because they don't bury people with no clothes. Third, Jesus was born in obscurity and loneliness. The birth took place away from people, all alone. Mary wrapped the child in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Fourth, Jesus was born in humiliation. He did not enter the world in the hospital, a comfortable home, the home of a friend or relative, under a doctor's care, or even under the stars of heaven. But he was born in a smelly stable, the loneliest imaginable place on earth. Jesus was born into a corrupt world full of sin and selfishness, greed and unkindness. This is seen in that the world, represented by the innkeeper, was so wrapped up in the affairs that it could not help a woman bearing a child. No one would make room for Mary. In the end, money and personal comfort were more important to all who had become aware of the situation. The reason that Christ had to be born the way he was is so that we would understand there is nothing that you have or nothing that you don't have that would stop you from coming to the child. Jesus was born, as I said, in a stable, the loneliest place there was. He was wrapped in rags because they didn't have all of the luxuries that we see today. He wasn't born in a palace, yet he was the Son of God. Here he was, born in a stable to humble parents. He lived a humble life, not because he had to, but because he was showing us that being humble does not mean we're weak. Being humble does not mean that we're not strong. It just means that we understand. We talk about Christmas and we talk about all the gifts and all the things, but you know what? And we've learned this, and I don't know if you have yet. If you have children, you'll learn this. No matter what you buy them, the thing they're going to play with the most is the box it came in. I don't care how expensive the toy is. I don't care whatever it is. They're going to play with the box they came in. So my suggestion is give them an empty box. They'll probably be happy. But don't do that, please. I don't want the kids to come up here and lynch me. But he was born like that so that you and I would understand that we don't have to have anything to come to Jesus Christ. Only thing he wants from us is our heart given to him and our life committed to live for him. And it doesn't mean that we'll be rich, because he was never rich. It doesn't mean that we'll be famous, because he never became famous until he started doing all the miracles that he did. And even then, he was famous to some, but he was cursed by just about everybody else. Even then, no matter how much he did, how many miracles he did, they all wanted what? They wanted to see more and more and more. And he told them, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore, because I could do a million of them and it wouldn't make a difference to you. I hear people today say, well, you know, preacher, if I just had this, I would do this for God. If you have to have something to do something for God, you'll never come to God. Because there always will be something else that you need to have before you come to God. Or if you think that you're so bad that you can't come to God, let me tell you something. There ain't nobody, and that's proper grammar, there ain't nobody that is so bad that God can't reach down and touch you and save you. But you got to come. You got to come. A lot of people miss the first coming of Christ. So, I want to ask you something. What about you? Are you going to miss the coming of Christ just as I missed the page? Anyway, everything happened the way God wanted it to happen. The taxation shows us how God uses a bit of the world in order to get people to where he wants them. And that's what he expects from us. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to come to him. And my question to you this morning that I ask is, are you there? Have you come to the child? Have you come to the gift that God gave? We were listening to Joseph Youssef this morning on the TV, and he was preaching a sermon about this event. And he said, you know, Christmas, we commercialized it and this, that, and the other, but Christmas was about one thing, and it was about God showing his love to us by giving his son. By fulfilling John 3:16, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. And we like to quote that verse, and we like to think all good things, but the next verse says, if you don't accept him, you're not going to heaven. If you are playing Christian, you got a problem. If you think because you come to church, you're getting into heaven, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you've got a problem. Don't tell me you can't come to God because of whatever, because God made his son available to everyone. Everyone. If he'd have been born in a palace, half of the population would have never been able to go see the child. But he wasn't. He was born in a stable, and yet half the population still didn't go see the child. You know who went to see him? The shepherds. They were the first to go and witness the birth and see the Savior of the world. And at that day and time, shepherds weren't thought of very highly. Because if you've ever worked around animals, you get to, after a while, smell like an animal. No matter how much you wash, it just kind of permeates your clothes and everything else. So they were looked down on. But yet they were the ones who were willing to go and accept Jesus Christ. They were the ones who weren't so highfalutin that they would not lower themselves to go to that place to see that child. Just as many today won't humble themselves to come to Calvary to be covered by the blood of Christ. They're too important. They have too much. They're going to do too much. They can't work enough to go to heaven. But yet, that's what they're trying to do. They base all of their salvation on how they feel today. Am I happy today? If I'm happy today, then I'm saved. If I'm not happy today, then I'm not saved. I don't know about you, but I'm going to close with this. I am glad that I serve a Savior who is willing to accept me the way that I am. And we sing that song all the time, just as I am. And I think we sing it, but we really don't. Hopefully it really touches your heart, because it's saying that no matter where I was at, God was willing to send or reach his hand down and pick me up out of that and put me where I am today. And as I was sitting in my office this morning getting ready to come out here, and I was thinking about all kinds of things, and before my deacons came in to have prayer with me, I stopped and had to pray and say, God, don't let Satan take anything away from me, especially the joy that I have because of what you've given me. And my wife will tell you, I'm not rich. We're not rich. We're not poor. God's blessed us. But I got to thinking about my children and my grandchildren and said, God, you know what? I'm glad that they're not doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And they're not perfect. No child is, believe me. But there's so much to be thankful for. And you know what? Not one thing material popped into my mind. I didn't think about my house. I didn't think about my car. I didn't think about anything material, but I thought about all the blessings that God's given me and my family. And I hope as we come into the Christmas season and we're all excited about it, let's get excited about Jesus Christ. That's what we ought to be getting excited about. Not what you got, not who gave it to you, not who didn't give it to you, but about Jesus Christ and about what he gave you. Because what he's given you, once you've accepted it, nobody can take it away from you. You can't even take it away from yourself. And not only can you not take it away, but it's never going to rust. It's never going to rot. You're never going to lose it, right? You're not going to be like my wife who puts something away so nobody will find it, and then when she goes to look for it, she can't find it either, and she don't know where it's at. And of course, she asked me, and that's a bad thing to do because I have no idea. That's why I don't put my tools and stuff away, because when I do, I can't find them. So she puts them away, and I still can't find them. Jesus Christ is there for you. He's easy to find, but you got to come to him. So where are you at this morning? If you don't know him, I pray today will be the day. There is no better gift that you can give yourself than to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And Christian, today I'm going to ask you, the best gift you can give yourself is to turn your whole life over to him. Your whole heart, your mind, your body. He wants everything. And start serving him the way he wants you to serve. That's the best gift you'll ever get. Because that's something nobody can take away from you. No matter what. Do you have that gift this morning? What's in your heart? Do you have room? If not, won't you come? Let's close in prayer. Our Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the day. And I thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I thank you for the songs that were lifted up this morning to you. And Lord, as we sang those songs, they are a message in themselves. They talk about your love. They talk about your son. They talk about the gift. They talk about the baby in the manger. But Lord, it's not only about the baby in the manger. It's about him on the cross. It's about the blood that he shed, God, so that we can have a way back to you. It's because you loved us enough and you thought enough about us that while we were yet sinners, your son died for us. So God, I'm asking each and every one of us this morning to look in our hearts. Are we like that innkeeper? Are we saying we don't have room in our heart for your son? That we don't have room in our heart to serve your son because there's so much going on in the world that is more important than him? God, please let us come to the realization there is nothing in this world, no person, no thing, nothing that is as important as us accepting your son Jesus Christ. And if there's one out there today who has not made that decision, I pray, God, that today would be the day. Lord, that they would come down this aisle. They don't even have to wait on the singing, God, to just come and ask your son into their heart. And Lord, for those of us that say we're Christians, and God, I hope and pray that there's nothing in our heart that's keeping us from serving you. And if there is, I pray today would be the day that we come to this altar and we turn it all over to you. Because, God, you gave everything. You gave something that none of us would be willing to give. You gave your son, and you gave him freely. And thank you so much for that gift. And it's in his name that we ask. Amen. Won't you stand with me?